Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
How to keep the streams of revelation open. How to keep the streams of revelation open. Mark chapter 8 and from verse, let's take 14 all the way to 21. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, those two things are separate, but some other day. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not? When God is talking, don't assume you know what he's saying. Farabale, calm down. Let him talk. Neither understand, have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I broke the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said 7. And he said unto them, how is it, if you know this, how is it that you do not understand? Stop there. How to keep the streams of revelation open. Now, the first thing I want to share with you is that one of the most powerful things God can do for you, and please open your eyes and your ears and help me, and hear me. Now, one of the greatest advantages you can have in your life is to have the mind of God revealed to you. Do you know that marriages have been saved, homes preserved, because God spoke? You can go for a prayer meeting. Like some of you like going up and down. You go from Karen and Moda to travel for a conference somewhere, spend your money, but you don't have any mind to obey God. You just like going for meetings, concerts. Huh? And thank God for concerts and musical programs. But most of them sleep when the world starts. So it's good to dance and sing, but is the voice of God loud in your head? And something that beats me here is how that somebody can be so close to Jesus and yet not even understand who God is. Jesus said, if you want to understand me, you must be able to perceive. When you see me do what I do, try to ask yourself, why is he doing it that way? Don't just say, it's Jesus. No, you will never learn like that. When you are in your office and you see your boss tells you, look, when we go to that, when we get in for that meeting, don't say anything. No matter what they say, keep quiet. But you have all the facts to win that argument. And he says, don't talk. I remember a few years ago, somebody made a mistake by not attending to a customer properly. And even though the staff was right, but something happened. Relationship is more powerful than principles. What did I say? Relationships are more powerful than principles. A relationship can break a principle. It can bend it. Who you know can bend. Let me just pick that phone. Tunde, Is this how you people want to be running this bank? Tunde is one of the EDs. And she called him by name. Ah, where are you? Ah, I'm in your so-so branch. They say they don't have cash. Eh? Now, if you work in a bank, that is a sin. It's just like going to the shop of a fashion designer and you don't find clothes everywhere. Or even leftover clothes that she has sewn. You don't find, everywhere is clean. Are you sure it's not book you are selling here? What can this, the shop of a fashion, you should find clothes everywhere, both used and brand new. The woman was putting the staff under pressure. So the staff was like, madam, please hold on. We currently don't have cash. Let me speak to my manager. All the woman heard was, we don't have cash. Before my friend, who is the manager of that office, got back to his seat, stood up. Madam, good morning. Apologies, ma. Please come to my... A query was waiting for him. He got a query. His own boss got a query. His own boss, who doesn't stay in that area, got a query. Then the query was climbing. So everybody will want to remove your neck. Everybody start firing the query down. So he's now receiving the query to now pass it to the boy who made the mistake. They've yanked him off system. Sacked. No room for appeal. Sometimes when we tell people to develop themselves, you put yourself in a difficult position where by one hand, they can throw you away. Now that you are not married, develop yourself. It's not wife you need. You understand? It's not wife. Develop yourself. If you have a skill, be good at it. Don't put yourself in a state where one man will hold you to ransom. Or one woman. The boy was yanked off, like he couldn't log on again. He sacked, and that's where we sack in my office. You just won't be. Who has time to be typing letter? Yank him. Letter is old. They yanked the boy off. The boy did not, even though he was working in the office, didn't know how to relate. The first thing he could have said, or the best he could have said, was, madam, please come to my manager's desk or office. Then he said, then that one would, madam, please, can I offer you some tea? Madam, it's been a while, we've seen you here. Then you call one of the nearer branches. Can you help me pay 3 million? I say, madam, instead of saying we don't have cash, you would have said there's one body, BW or something. Say, they are on their way, but they are stuck in traffic. But I just called my sister, can I take your check to that branch for you? Process it, bring your cash here. Just hold on. I said, no. Let me go. Madam, this is the manager. I've spoken to him over there. It's just client profiling. Process, try to profile who you are talking to. Don't take everybody from Mushin. You understand? Or from Bagada. She may be living in Banana Island all her life. She has never gone out. Profile, look at the person you are talking to. I don't know who needs to hear this, but you won't know why you're having spiritual, but pastor, pray. It's not prayer, you. They sacked the brother, the staff, innocent staff who made a mistake. How much is his salary? 55,000. They sacked him. Then gave the boss a query for supervisory lapses. And then sacked him. So when you are a supervisor in your office, don't just pray for yourself. Pray for your staff so they won't put you into trouble. Somebody hearing me now? So have a day that you fast for all of them. Mention their name. Today you are blessed. You have the wisdom. Pray. Before they go and tell customer that, we don't have cash since yesterday. My dad, I say, the country is very... Who asked you to be discussing the price of fuel with your customer? Are you out of your mind? What's wrong? What's going on here? People have problems they don't know. That the where the problem is this mouth. God go save us. So this APC is safe. Meanwhile, the woman is an APC member. The woman that reported this is Tawat. Chieftain. The other one is Tawat. This one is Chieftain. Market woman leader. You don't know. Do you know that my manager, that the area manager, of that zone. Eh? While the manager of that brother that was sacked was trying to respond to a query. Actually, I went to offload the ATM. I went to do it. When I got back, I noticed it had happened. Trying to remove his neck. The area manager left her office where she was. Went to the house of the woman that complained. The woman is younger than she is. She said, "Madam, please, I'm the area manager." "I didn't know." "Madam, I know you now. I used to attend to you in so-so branch." "Madam, don't you know me again?" "Say, why are you not?" "Say, madam, madam, that is going to be dealt with. We are going to deal with him. I know you. Net down. You are, okay. So, nobody will teach you that when in training school. It's when you get there. Huh? You will know that you can kneel down. The policy of the bank does not say you should kneel down for anybody. If you commit the crime, bear it. But that arrow has fallen on the staff that committed the crime. It has fallen on the manager. It's going to fall on Anne. She's the area manager. What did she do? "Lord, save me." She went on her knees for a girl that was younger. Maybe that girl is the girlfriend of the Tunde. You know? Some of you... You think these guys say, "Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir." Hey, you go and propose to her first. That's the day you will know your name is Tunde. Okay, somebody got it right there. It's a respect. No, me, I just tell you it. You see, you don't lie. You like it, like it. Get it, don't get it, forget about it. I just tell you straight. All that girl say, "I like her, she's very respectful." Toast her first. That's the day you will know. That to have girlfriends is not easy. If you marry, just tell it to your wife. The woman went on her knees because she saw the arrow of death coming. It has taken two people. She's the next person. She went to the house. Area manager knelt down because she understood something. That your organization will choose your client over you any day. Any day. "Oh, you are a staff, you are a star, you know, you always get results." May there not be problem. That day you will know that that organization values their clients more than you. You are just there to make them rich. The story I told you is the same thing Jesus was talking about. The ability to understand, the ability to perceive. Now, if my wife, as lovely as she is, and she believes that she's doing well in her career, looks down on the calling of God over my life, it will not benefit her. And that same calling will be saving other people. The ability to perceive and to understand. And it gives me a lot of concern that you can actually be a Christian and be close to God. You have a prayer life. You listen to the word. And yet your ability to perceive is very low. You will not know where the problem is coming from. Most times, you can turn your prophet to your boyfriend. When your boss is asked in the office to recommend somebody, do you think he recommends only based on capacity? No. He recommends based on a honor code. This person is honorable. This one, if I go on leave and he stands in for me, if there's a problem, he will call me and tell me. This other one will just create the problem. There I come, hand it over to me. And if you know anything about relief staff, you probably understand what I'm... Most relief staffs are not capable. But they always believe they are better than their boss. I'm talking to you about why you can pray and shout. And even God and Satan will not make a comment. They are just looking at you because... The way you are going, even God cannot help you. Satan himself will not put mouth again. The moment you are not able to perceive what is going on around you, and these are spiritual things, you may be dealing with a problem I may not know. When we are going to have our second child, and I've shared that story here before, usually we'll take the new person to my father-in-law's place because we were both working the bank and we didn't have time. We were both working the bank. So we didn't have time. We took the woman to the house. And my father-in-law rarely complains about anybody. But when I got back over the weekend, he said, "Send this woman away." Now, my father-in-law is not a prophet. But I just thought about it that for this man to complain about, he didn't say what she did. He just said, don't let her stay. Me, I don't fight battle if I don't know reason. I cannot just tell someone to go. And we've been looking for an help for a while. So my wife too was like, this is what mommy said. I said, I beg, let's go. Let's go. There's no, you've given me the problem but no solution. We lost that baby. Just 2 weeks of that woman living with us. So I remembered what my wife said. I think that prayer is about 2 months or 3 months. I'm not too sure, but we lost that baby. Or rather, we saw the signs that the baby was gone. So my wife told me, say, let's pray. But you know me, I'm a son of Bishop Oyedepo. So I said, I did what Bishop Oyedepo did. Give me my food. It's a God of faith. And my wife kept on bleeding. Now, don't do that at home. It's nice. You may endanger your wife's life. Uh-huh. But that's what I did. I was following my father without asking if there are other things he did. There's a particular issue I've been dealing with for a while now that I've been praying and trusting God. And a few days ago, the Lord told me, don't discuss that matter again with anybody except your wife. Now, that doesn't look like I have taken charge. I will do it. It just said, don't discuss it. Your freedom is in obedience. Do you understand what I'm saying? So my wife called me and I said, okay, let's pray. And then we start beside the bed. The moment I say, Father, in the name of Jesus. See, let me tell you, our parents who went to CAC, Equa, Coke, they knew so many things that we don't know. Because when you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you have opened the gateway in the spirit. Those in IT will understand gateway. You just open a channel, you enter. It's like having a password. But because here we even crack Joe's comedian. I don't know. I still try to understand what comedians are doing in the church. I really don't know. Apart from listening to the word of God, I don't know what they are doing. Why will I give precious time for someone to come and make me laugh? So what happens to the joy of the Holy Spirit? And those are things that are trendy, you know, but nobody will tell you. They will tell you it's their ministry. But they may be listening now. But I'm here to tell you, you have not found your ministry. Your ministry is outside. If it's comedy, go outside and do it. Not white services on. If we now have like a social gathering, like, okay, let's just go and have fun. You can bring a comedian. It's not a church meeting. Someone will come and be cracking himself, not me. You understand? But in a church service, I'll give you 15 minutes. Do you know you can do 15 minutes? You can lay hands on people. You can heal the sick. I don't have a problem. If you want to do it, you do it. But me, I will tell you. It's not in the service program that the apostles gave us. Paul didn't talk about it. Jesus didn't do it. I prayed with my wife. Father, in the name of Jesus. And I heard the voice of God in the way I've never heard. He said, send that woman out now. Now. We just called the woman. How many weeks have you done here? Say to it, okay, we'll give you 1 month. Go now. Next thing, I will change you. Did I say anything? I said we don't want again. Go. At least you've done what you wanted to do. Go. Say I will change you. I don't know who needs to hear this. Okay, I've not even entered my message. We sent the woman away. She cried. And please, anywhere you are trying to address the truth and somebody start crying, they're about to manipulate you. And please, don't think it's about women. Have you seen men crying before? Oof. When a man wants to cry, he cries, mucus will come out. Men are even more manipulative than women. Yes. Take me, come and beat me. Men are more... you don't know. You've not seen that way. A man can be manipulating you. You'll be agreeing. Most married men manipulate their wives. Yes. And later, when the woman is there, she will come back and apologize, like, ah, I didn't see it that way. This guy is manipulating you. See, I'm a changed man. No? Do you know that as I prayed, we sent the lady out. While, no, that day we prayed that prayer. And I asked the Lord, if this baby is there, let this baby move. And the baby moved. But physically, the baby had gone. And I told my wife, let's go to the hospital. She went to the hospital. The doctor said, there's nothing there again. But that same year, we had a baby. That's my daughter. So, don't believe any doctor's report. If God has not given you the clearance to let the matter go, stand on his word. Stand on his word. Now, what was the issue Jesus had with these guys? That Jesus said can block a man's continuous flow of revelation. Huh? Jesus addressed the issue of bread. Why do people get emotional? The moment something endangers your source of income, the moment something happens and it seems that there's going to be a problem financially or bread, people begin to say, let's use wisdom. You understand? Let's use wisdom. They want to sack 3 people, like my boss, when they were going to sack me, then they say, we want to downsize Oceanic Bank. And my boss came to me and said, one of us, they say we are too much on this desk. One of us will go. It's not me. You know me, I've been here since. I've called Ogadis. Shebi, you did masters. Maybe you should go back and do PhD. So I know you are good in communication. She started advising me that I'm good in communication. I should not die here. My destiny is... Ha! Whenever there's a threat, that's the day you will know who loves you. Forget that thing. You do birthday, buy cake. Everybody will be snapping pictures with you. Who told you that's the definition of a friend? That we're in the same class in school doesn't mean we are friends. We are classmates, not friends. Friendship is a very strong word. It's too strong for God to even look at Abraham and say, my friend. Ah, you to take him somewhere be your friend. Just met him yesterday. Say, it's my friend. How can someone be your friend? When you put your secret in his hand and you don't hear it somewhere else, you know it's your friend. Jesus talked about the issue of bread. And I want to talk about this issue specifically because most people do not realize that the legitimate desire for satisfaction, food, can derail a man's destiny. They don't know it. I have to be very quick with this one, 5 minutes. The desire for bread. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And you should take this advice. There's a way you become satisfied in God. Satan will be asking, is this the guy we have been disturbing? Because you are not showing it. In your mind, you are concerned, though. But physically, what a mighty God we serve. Ha! One of my brothers says, one of my sons in the Lord, he's a student of Covenant University. And he said he was walking along the road on the campus and saw Bishop Erekpo like this, very tired. They say, good afternoon, sir. God bless you. How are you? Say, sir, you look tired. Say, I cannot be tired. And he was, I cannot be tired. Say, what's your name? Say, you are blessed. I cannot be tired. Don't put poison in my soul. I cannot be tired. Come, they've not paid your salary in 3 months. Are you sure your company is not good? No. The Lord is my sufficiency. Don't you protect your spirit. The moment the enemy, through legitimate reasons, factual positions, push you into a mode where you become concerned for bread, the stream of revelation that is supposed to feed you and put you on the right course will become blocked. Because the issue of bread is a legitimate concern. It's not a sin. When you look around you and you know in your heart, look, I don't know what my wife and my children are going to feed on. It's a legitimate concern. The pastor will come down and say, we should not think about what we shall eat or drink. I can't feed my family. Yes, it's a legitimate concern, but you must not let it hold you captive. One day I was so ashamed and concern. My pastor came out on the altar. My pastor, I won't mention the church, came out on the altar and he said, oh, that in this church, people don't care about their leaders, about one another. That, can you believe that my children were sent out of school last week? He said, you, when you have a problem in Intercontinental Bank, I prayed for you. You, when your husband wanted to send you out of the house, I prayed for you. He started pointing to people. You know, I became ashamed. I became ashamed, though. Like, you know, for a pastor to come out and say, ah, you too, you are still here. He, you know, I was just a graduate, no job, but I was touched. That you are here, you are now a manager in the bank. You, when you had a problem and they sacked you, I did VG with you. You, hey, you know, I was touched. Inside. But what is the issue? The moment God opens a door for you, one of the things you really want to do quickly is to begin to collect and keep and preserve. Yeah, the Bible says there's he that, what? That keeps more than is necessary, and it begins to tend towards what? Poverty. And when the poverty gets a master's degree, it becomes poverty. Advanced poverty. God is not saying your concerns are not legitimate. He's saying, do not allow your faith, the progress in your life, be built on how much money or supply you have. Don't let the reason why you are joyful in Jesus be what you have and what you don't have. Don't let filtered pictures and images and background of UK when you are in Mushi and Akumba to deceive you. And you think people are having a good life. Don't let somebody who travel for vacation and snap a picture at the Heathrow airport. You think the person has located finally. No, it's just visito. But you begin to worry and you begin to think. Jesus said that he reminded him, say, when you only have one loaf in the boat, but when we add less, we were able to feed 5,000 and 7,000. So why do you not perceive that if the way maker, the bread from heaven is with you, that there's a way of escape? Why are you worrying as if God has traveled? Christians worry more than unbelievers. If you say you believe God, why not believe that the issue of who you will marry is settled? And leave it there. Stop. You overfitter the thing till we can't even recognize you again. Come on, say I'm blessed. Don't wait for anybody to tell you. The moment the devil threatens you with any, like, hey, you may not have a job tomorrow. Hey, we don't know what they will say today. Hey, tell yourself, I am blessed. I am a child of the El Shaddai, the multi-breasted God. You are king. Whether you know it or not, you are king. You are royalty on the earth. Jesus didn't redeem you to be a slave. He redeemed you as kings and priests. Deal with it and accept your status forever. So the reason why many block the streams of revelation is because they allow the matter of what they will eat or drink. And they do not remember that God was coming from somewhere with them. It's not today God has been saving you. And that brings me to the second point, which is remembering the testimonies of the past. How God came through for you, how God helped you. Sometimes even in your sin, you knew that you have an issue you've not resolved with God. And yet God still came through and helped you. You are about to put... There's a particular brother, one of my friends, we went for a meeting, a business meeting somewhere. And he was saying to me that, he wants to give this particular guy 500,000. 500,000, the facilitator. We just had a meeting somewhere in the Kenya. That was like 2020 before COVID. And then I said to him, wait. All I said to him was what? Wait. 1 month after, the brother he wanted to give money was arrested for fraud. So up to now, he's still promising me wine. Because his wife is a choleric. The wife will have his head. You saw somebody, he spoke, his mouth was very sweet, and you gave me 500,000. What are you people selling? He said, actually, you know, where is the money now? He said, it's gone. Where is the person you gave? They say it's in a panty. Okay. So you go and join him. remembering the faithfulness of the past. It's very, very important to remember a testimony. Not just what God has done, but what God has said. If God discussed something with you 5 years ago, because it's 5 or 10 years, or because you forgot, doesn't mean God has forgotten about it. God will not cause a covenant he established with you to expire until he establishes another one. So if God will understand how this thing works. The faithfulness of the past, you have to remember them. And just also spoke about remembrance in that scripture. You have to remember them. Remember that you are not always like this 10 years ago. Do you understand? Remember, God will not bring you this far and drop you. Just look at where you are coming from. You see the hand of God. Despite all the sin in your life, he's still there. Because he knows you will outgrow it one day. He knows all that sin, you will outgrow it. He knows you are just a baby. Yeah, Baba, he says it's my baby. Leave her. She will grow one day. God is very patient. Those are the things that make him God that Satan doesn't have. His patience. His love. Capacity to wait with you till you mature. Human beings don't have it. Satan doesn't have time. So the reason why Satan could not unseat him was not because of he doesn't have power. Ah, no. There are certain things about God that makes him calm. His patience. His remembrance. When he remembers the covenant. God even remembers the covenant he has with your parents. And say, because of that, I will not punish you. That's what happened to David now. Then, sorry, Solomon. Because of your father, I will leave this matter. So, do you believe that it was because David was in the Old Testament? Now that we even have a better covenant on premise on wonderful promises, don't you think that it's possible for you to live your life in a way that God will even enter a covenant with you? And say, because of mama, our children. You know, mama, let me tell you something. There was one man of God, he's dead now. He had a big farm when Assemblies of God came to Nigeria. That's my friend, Iyechi. He came here a few years ago. And let me even look for him. Say, let him come again. The first overseer of Assemblies of God was that boy's grandfather. God said, don't go to farm again. Don't do any work. Sit down. And witness to the Igbo people. Do you know that the Igbo race, they are very unique? Let me tell you something. There is something about the Jewish people and Igbo race that is very strange. Almost everybody from the Israeli stock have one religion. They don't debate it. You are born Jewish. Almost everybody from the Igbo tribe are Christians. God wanted to make the Igbo race a colony of Zion on earth. People don't see that thing. And people now wonder why there's so much warfare against them. There's a way they embrace the gospel. Forget about the money side, though. But there's a way they embrace the gospel. That you, it's like, how can everybody be a Christian? Even by, forget about that you are believing, but by name, everybody, Catholic, Anglican, Presbyterian, everybody is in church. And you wonder why, where in Nigeria do you have that kind of thing again? The other thing is in the Connaught. God would have used the southeastern part of Nigeria to prove a point that if believers get it right, they can colonize nations. And God was blessing them. They were doing very fine. But look at the warfare against them. Before you open your mouth, try to ask yourself, what's God even saying about these people? Before you open your mouth and say, hey, it's not by right, you have to fight for it if you want to be president. Before you open your mouth next, ask yourself, this tribe that is so fought after, do they remind you of Israel? Have enemies all around them, and yet you can't subdue them. Before you open your mouth, the battle we are talking about, they've been fighting since you were born, before you were born. Ask yourself and look at the Jewish nation. Look at these people. There are a lot of similarities. That tribe is, you can't conquer them. Forget it. If you like, do your scheming. You can't conquer them. Forget it. I'm telling you, this is not politics. It's just the way it is. Go and look at the spiritual indices that are replicated in that tribe and study Israel and study wherever people, an entire people, believed God at once and see the kind of things they faced. The day that nation will break out, if they don't break forth within this nation, if they break forth outside, they are going. Okay. Yes, sir. You better go and beg them. And tell them, let them not go. If you like. Say, it's not by right. You have to fight for it. Okay, I have 3 more points here, or 4 more points. Let me just give you one more. Because we can't finish the message. You continue next week. I don't know why I'm there to say that, because some of you are changing your names. You want to convert, become Igbo, move to Yoruba. You don't need it. There's something about your covenant. There's something about that tribe is weird and is spiritual. So you find the altar of Satan side by side God's altar there. And they are both thriving. The occultic is very strong. Those who follow God too, very strong. And I could come back and tell you something specifically about Abba, but it's not for today. Since that's not the reason we are gathered today. But prophetically, there are some cities in that place that God has interest in. Evil speaking. Things that can block the flow of revelation. The first one I say is when the desire for bread and survival takes over your heart. The second one I mention is when you do not remember the miracles and the testimonies of the past. And the third thing I mention now is evil speaking. God associates the possibility for, look at it, it says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips so that they speak no guile. Now, this is another Bible study for another day. But the summary of it is that if you want to live long, watch your mouth. You can shut the heavens over you by what you say. We've seen people, we don't even know if it was God that spoke to us. And God stopped talking. Are you even sure it's your husband? You say God told you. How do you know? This is your speck now. Does God speak in specks? The day the guy now tear you slap, you say, and I thought God said, So the moment people have any reason that pokes a hole in what God said to them, who told you if God tell you something, there will be no challenges? Who told you that it will be smooth? People think because God said, every word will be tested with fire now. That fire is to make you strong and solid so that on that journey, nothing can shake you again. You told the lady, I like you, you are my specs, intelletto, you are doing all kind of thing. Then now they told you she has hormonal imbalance. And at this one now, there's no drug, she has to go to India. You start looking for a reason to break up. Say, God is calling me to a life of prayer. Who wish prayer? Go and marry. Refrain your tongue from speaking evil. Don't say what you don't mean. And please mean what you say. It's evil speaking. Don't say anything behind anybody you can't say in front of them. If you know you can't say yes, sir, or yes, ma, to a lady simply because she's younger than you, then don't resign. There's a pen on your desk. Just write your letter and leave. We're not looking at age here. She's in your office. She may even be your ex-girlfriend, but she's your boss now. So humble yourself. Are you not a Christian? Be humble now. Don't go to the back and evil speaking. Say if you want to live long. That's what Peter said though. You know Peter lived very long. Say what he realized, that if you control what you say, you will live long. By the words of your mouth you shall be justified, and by the words of your mouth you shall be ensnared. If you open your mouth and say, hey, I don't know what will happen. Exactly that's what will happen. Pastor, will I ever get married? You have said it. Pastor, will I ever have children? You have said it. Whose report shall you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. I believe the report of the Lord. If you go to the doctor, especially those of us that are over a certain age, the doctor will do your blood test and tell you many terrible things. The Lord bless you. Amen. Refrain from evil speaking. Things that can close the door of revelation, and you pray, God will not speak. Not because God will not speak, but because the channels have been closed. An ungrateful spirit. Yeah? That's another ungrateful spirit. Don't praise God like you are. You know what was going to happen. You didn't know anything now. When I was under the theater and the doctor slit my throat, if you come close to my neck, you see the scar. Still there. Even after all my anointing, the thing did not go away. It's still there. Slit my throat. They gave my mother a bucket to be crying inside. Because she thought I was dead. And I could have died because they told her it was 50-50. They did like this. And I was... I saw the different colors of blood. I saw green. I saw different colors. They came out from my neck. I could have died. We will never have met. So why will God take you through that surgery and you came out and you think this is the best time for God to abandon you? Why? Who is selling that lie to you? And you are believing it. Don't close the door of revelation on yourself. Don't be ungrateful. If you want to praise God, praise Him. Don't praise Him like an entitled person. There's no chief here. Huh? There's no chief here. We are all children of God. If you don't have food in your house, that's the day you should be in church. Yeah? Yeah? We have seen people that sat in church and some God just told the person about give him $500. Yeah? Yeah? $1,000. And there was one brother too that gave everything and he checked home for 2 hours. He said, I will never give in that church again. I check. Went to a brother, I said, please, can you assist me? I gave my last offering. When the pastor said, you should empty our... I emptied. He said, I don't have money. The guy said, me too. I gave my last offering. Enter his car, drove away. So everybody's not like you. Why did I share this message with you? Because the Lord said it's a new season. And what I've shared with you are the keys that will preserve that new season in your life. Very simple message. So I've resolved. I will be grateful. I've told myself I will be grateful. Every time I wake up, I will. Because I realize how easy it is to die now. Last week I was hitting 140 kilometers per hour. I didn't know. The car was just going, you know, very easily. I didn't know. So I have to caution myself. It's when you step on the brakes, you will realize you've been speeding. I drove on top, I stepped on the brake and the car twisted like this. I was rushing to come and preach in church. I was coming from office Sunday morning, rushing to come and preach. And I said, the car, that matrix turned. I said, this brake won't fail. I just started going small. Ah, Pastor, why? I will get to church. I beg. Men are not killing me. Pastor, praise worship is over. I said, I beg. Make I they come. I know by force to preach. I beg. Waiting. So this car self get problem. I say it's the devil. The moment you enter that station and come out, don't say, don't be analyzing. No, maybe it's the break. Go on your knees and thank God. Because you have one fine girl in your car. You got the covenant, there's something that's called the covenant of your knees. The covenant of your knees. Go on. Leave it. Use that leg, that knee. Go on your knees before God and say, Father, I'm grateful. So that you will not stand in front of one judge tomorrow and be begging him in the court. Say, please help me. Help me for what? I have bent my knees to God. I will not beg any man. I bent my knees to God. I will not beg him, please, sir, if you don't help us. Hey, you have made that man God. Lie! Before that one, I will bend my... Yeah, so it's not every time you will be doing shaklaba. Go on your knees sometimes when you wake up in the morning. Say, Father, thank you for your mercies. Don't pray like a prayer warrior. Talk to him like... Father, thank you. I'm grateful. You are faithful. Thank you for your help. I'm grateful. If not for you, where will I be? Then sing. Sing and thank him in your language. If you don't know, go and check Google. Cram any song or from your village and sing it and bless him. Be grateful. Be genuinely grateful. Not because Pastor Benga said. Be genuinely grateful. As I'm talking, some of you remembering things that have happened in your past, that it was the mercy of God that saved you. They say, Pastor, I pray God is not talking. I know why he's not talking. You are not a grateful person. There were 10 of you that I healed. Where are the other 9? Did Jesus tell them to come back? But he expected it. He expected it. Don't be smart. All this book. You. There are people that I know I cannot prophesy to. Because of they feel they have labored for God. God must say something. Doesn't work like that. They brought somebody to me some time ago, and as I was prophesying to a person, 2 hours when I finished, the person that brought him said, "Pastor, since I've known you, you refuse to prophesy to me." The moment he said it, the book opened to another chapter. I saw his name. I started prophesying from the book. Hey, the guy said, "Today," I said, "today is your lucky day. After that, we open wine, we drink." Non-alcoholic. Some of my elder ones who taught me the word of God when I was young, when I prophesied, they say, "Look, we are not treating you like our younger brother. We know you are God's servant. Speak freely." I said, "I should speak freely." He said, "Yes." Okay. 1992, April 7. Who's there? Ah, that's my birthday. Okay, let's start from there. But it is the way they receive you. I say it's my former boyfriend. You're on your own, no? This one is not a prophet, too. You see, you're on your own. You soon lost. For those of our foreign people, they may not understand that one. You soon lost. Be grateful. Yes, you lost something, but everything was not lost. Be grateful. That's the key to your tomorrow. Be grateful. You want to keep the streams of revelation flowing. Direction in your life. Learn how to praise God. Stop checking YouTube and Google for why you cannot have children. They don't have the answer. Start thanking him for the Josephs and the Samuels and the Elijahs and the pause he has given to you. Start thanking. You are blessed too. I say you are blessed. From today, your life is changed forever. Not only will you be a blessing, but you will be a blessing to generations. Your story will inspire people to follow God.